Chapter 8. A Battle of Wills. When Marley was not quite 6 months old, we signed him up for obedience classes. God knew he needed it. He was proving himself a challenging student, dense, wild, constantly distracted, a victim of his boundless nervous energy. As my father put it shortly after Marley attempted marital relations with his knee, "That dog's got a screw loose." We needed professional help. Our veterinarian told us about a local dog training club that offered basic obedience classes on Tuesday nights in the parking lot behind the armory. The teachers were unpaid volunteers from the club, serious amateurs who presumably had already taken their own dogs to the heights of advanced behavior modification. The course ran 8 lessons and cost $50, which we thought was a bargain, especially considering that Marley could destroy $50 worth of shoes in 30 seconds. And the club all but guaranteed we'd be marching home after graduation with the next great lassie. At registration, we met the woman who would be teaching our class. She was a stern, no-nonsense dog trainer who subscribed to the theory that there are no incorrigible dogs, just weak-willed and hapless owners. The first lesson seemed to prove her point. Before we were fully out of the car, Marley spotted the other dogs gathering with their owners across the tarmac. A party! He leaped over us and out of the car and was off in a tear, his leash dragging behind him. He darted from one dog to the next, sniffing private parts, dribbling pee, and flinging huge wads of spit through the air. For Marley, it was a festival of smells. So many genitals, so little time. I finally got within striking distance and took a giant leap, landing hard with both feet on his leash. He jerked backward, landed on his back, flipped around, and gazed up at me with the serene expression of a heroin addict who had just gotten his fix. Meanwhile, the instructor was staring at us with a look that could not have been more withering had I decided to throw off my clothes and dance naked right there on the blacktop. "Take your place, please." When she saw both Jenny and me tugging Marley into position, she added, "You are going to have to decide which of you is going to be trainer. A dog can only answer to one master." I began to protest, but she silenced me with that glare of hers. I suppose the same glare she used to intimidate her dogs into submission. And I slinked off to the sidelines with my tail between my legs, leaving Master Jenny in command. This was probably a mistake. Marley was already considerably stronger than Jenny, and knew it. Miss Dominatrix was only a few sentences into her introduction on the importance of establishing dominance over our pets when Marley decided the standard poodle on the opposite side of the class deserved a closer look. He lunged off with Jenny in tow. All the other dogs were sitting placidly beside their masters at tidy 10-foot intervals, awaiting further instructions. Jenny was fighting valiantly to plant her feet and bring Marley to a halt, but he lumbered on in pursuit of hot poodle butt-sniffing action. My wife looked amazingly like a water skier being towed behind a powerboat. Everyone stared. Some snickered. I covered my eyes. Marley wasn't one for formal introductions. He crashed into the poodle and immediately crammed his nose between her legs. After Marley had given the poodle a full gynecological examination, Jenny was able to drag him back into place. Miss Dominatrix announced calmly, "That class is an example of a dog that has been allowed to think he is the alpha male of his pack. Right now, he's in charge." As if to drive home the point, Marley attacked his tail, spinning wildly, his jaws snapping at thin air, and in the process he wrapped the leash around Jenny's ankles until she was fully immobilized. I winced for her and gave thanks that it wasn't me out there. The instructor began running the class through the sit and down commands. Jenny would firmly order, "Sit," and Marley would jump up on her and put his paws on her shoulders. She would press his butt to the ground, and he would roll over for a belly rub. She would try to tug him into place, and he would grab the leash in his teeth, shaking his head from side to side as if he were wrestling a python. It was too painful to watch. At one point, I opened my eyes to see Jenny lying on the pavement face down and Marley standing over her, panting happily. Later, she told me she was trying to show him the down command. As class ended and Jenny and Marley rejoined me, Miss Dominatrix intercepted us. "You really need to get control over that animal," she said with a sneer. Well, thank you for that valuable advice, and to think, we had signed up simply to provide comic relief for the rest of the class. Neither of us breathed a word. We just retreated to the car in humiliation. Finally, I said, "One thing you can say for him, he sure loves school."